I was told I have 7 minutes to speak to you today, which may well come as a relief to you, but was a shock to me. How do you fit the meaning of Christmas into 7 minutes? Well, if the Apostle John were here, he'd probably smile and say, 7 minutes? I've done it in 4 words. I'll tell you what Christmas is all about, he'd say, and he'd point us to our second reading from his Gospel and to verse 14. The Word became flesh. If you want to summarize Christmas, you could do worse than that. The Word became flesh. I wonder if you've started wrapping your presents yet. It's sometimes a real job fitting the gift into the wrapping paper. But imagine if it's possible trying to fit every gift you wanted to give into a single tiny box. Or think of going on a holiday and packing your suitcase. It's a job sometimes, squeezing everything in and trying to close the lid. But imagine trying to pack everything you own into that suitcase. It's something like that when we come to Christmas. John starts in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. See, there's a Christmas miracle for us to believe. And John stretches the canvas very wide. In the beginning, he says, was the Word. And this Word was a person. He was with God. He was God. He's older than the universe. And everything that exists, you and I included, exist because this Word spoke and said we should. From the trillions of galaxies that fill the universe to the coding within the genome, this Word is the logic, the grammar, the operating system of all reality, and this Word became flesh. All the fullness of God dwelt in a little baby and lay in his mother's arms. As Augustine, the great African bishop, said 1,500 years ago, this child in the manger fills the skies. On some of our car journeys as a family this year, we've been listening to the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. In the last battle, after the final great war for Narnia, with the kings and queens of Narnia almost overwhelmed by the darkness of the foreign invaders, a little group of them is forced to take refuge in a tiny stable at the top of a hill. And what they find is, as they retreat into the stable, they've actually stepped out into a whole new world with a blue sky overhead and grass under their feet. The stable is a place where its inside is bigger than its outside. And C.S. Lewis, with his eye on Christmas, has one of his characters say, yes, in our world too, a stable once held something inside that was bigger than the whole world. The Word became flesh. God is not on mute. He has spoken to us. The guesswork is over. What's the meaning of life? Who am I? Why are we here? What was 2020 all about? Christmas tells us we can find the answers to all our questions. And the place where we find them is in the God who became a human being and made himself accessible to us. The God who revealed himself. The Word became flesh. So there's a Christmas miracle for us to believe. But second, there's also a Christmas gift for us to receive. One of the great sadnesses of this past year has been the way that coronavirus has separated and isolated so many of us from our loved ones. Even walking down the street or going to the shops, we must be socially distanced. We have to wear masks and wash our hands so we don't contaminate one another. But you know, it's a picture of what the Bible calls our sin. As a human race, we have rejected the Word who made us. In doing so, we've separated ourselves from him and from one another. Again, from the macro to the micro, from the global politics or the environmental disaster to the most private struggles and fears in our own hearts. Sin has devastated us. We're not only socially distanced, we're spiritually distanced from the God who loves us and made us. But the Word became flesh. Our healthcare workers, many of them, have been heroic this year in the way they have cared for those suffering from this virus. They've had to cover themselves in protective equipment in order to get close. And certainly at the start of the pandemic, when medical supplies were low, many risked their lives to save others. At Christmas, the Word became flesh. God didn't try to protect himself. In fact, the very opposite. He became flesh so that he could die. He became a human being so that he could stand in for us, so that one day he could die on a cross for us, paying for your sins and mine, as if he had committed them himself. He could rise again for us and give us new life, life with him and with his Father. The distance ended. So here's the Christmas gift for us to receive. Verse 10. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's a gift that has your name on it. There's a Christmas miracle for you to believe. There's a Christmas gift for you to receive. And as I end, I have to ask you, have you received it? It's not an idea or a philosophy that we're thinking about. It's a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. You either receive him or you don't. But it is the most wonderful thing to walk with him throughout life, to know that your sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven, that in him you've been brought into the very life of God himself. If you've never received Jesus yourself, you can do it today. There doesn't need to be any great moment of crisis. You can just ask him to come into your life, to forgive you your sin, to be your Lord and Master. That's Christmas in 7 minutes or thereabouts. It's Christmas in four words. The Word became flesh.